Today's reading is from Acts 17, verses 1 to 9. In Thessalonica. When Paul and his companions had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As was his custom, Paul went to the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. "This Jesus I'm proclaiming to you is the Messiah," he said. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and quite a few prominent women. But the other Jews were jealous, so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas, in order to bring them out of the crowd. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some other believers before the city officials, shouting, "These men who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here, and Jason has welcomed them into his house. They are all defying Caesar's decrees, saying that there is another king, one called Jesus." When they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown into turmoil. Then they made Jason and the others post bond and let them go. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would speak to us through the scriptures, that you would speak to us now through my words, and that everything would be about what you're doing in our hearts and in our minds and in our spirits to lead us into being your people. Amen. So we have this first reading. You'll notice that it's not from the beginning of Acts because we're not actually following a chronological series. We're just going to jump around the whole book a little bit, but hopefully that keeps it fun and fresh and unpredictable. But first of all, then, there's a reason it's at the beginning, is because being missional is core. Being missional is the whole of our life as a church. Everything we do should be about being missional, as well as about following Jesus and about nurturing our own faith and the faith of one another. But we should always keep the missional life of our church there as a constant backdrop. Because partly, the way in which the early church began, the people who were the followers of the way understood that this was what it was all about. They sent people out from Jerusalem to Judea and further beyond. What happened was that as Jesus commanded, the directed of the followers of Jesus, they all went on mission. They all were missionaries. They all considered themselves to be going with the good news that Jesus had given them. And we see that throughout the book of Acts. At the beginning of the book of Acts, Peter stands up in Jerusalem and preaches this incredible sermon that's Holy Spirit inspired. And 3,000 people believe in Jesus through his sermon that day. And then those 3,000 people who were from multiple countries, because it was Pentecost and it was a festival in Jerusalem that people, Jewish people, had come to Jerusalem to celebrate. They then went back to their own countries and began to share this new faith in Jesus, the Messiah, and the way in which he had instructed them. And so from that very first sermon Peter and the Holy Spirit preached in Jerusalem, the mission of the church began, and it has flowed out ever since. We see it right the way through, from Acts chapter 2 with Peter and that sermon, through to Paul when he's under arrest in Rome, and he's living there for a few years waiting to meet with Caesar and still preaching the gospel to every single person who comes into the house where he's being kept under guard. We see it as Peter and John are sent to Samaria in chapter 8, as the church is birthed in Antioch, the first outside of Israel church in Antioch, as Barnabas and Saul go out on a missionary journey in chapter 13, and then Phoenicia chapter 15, and elsewhere. There's just this constant sense of people going, being sent out, going overseas, going to other nations, going to all the world to preach the gospel. It is there. The whole book of Acts is full of it. But it's not just about going overseas. There were many people, the followers of Jesus, who stayed in Jerusalem and continued to preach the gospel in their everyday lives as well. And so as we unpack all of this, there is this sense that we are all called to be missionaries. Some of us will be missionaries who go overseas, and we'll come back to that a bit later on. But all of us are called to be missionaries wherever we are, whatever our life looks like, wherever we're based, we are called to be a missionary in that place. And so really it's about, for us, about missional living, each and every one of us. How can we live in such a way that the good news of Jesus, who he is, what he has done for us, just is part of every fibre of our being. It oozes out of us in every context that we're in. And that is missional living, even though it sounds a bit disgusting. Paul and a few of his friends are sent out. But the first thing that we learn from them, from this passage, is their commitment. They are committed to the task of missional living. And that's really where the challenge is for us as well. Are we committed to Jesus and a life that expresses who he is? Are we prepared to make that our top priority? Paul and his friends, and throughout the book of Acts, we see this in that they're so committed, they're willing to go through really horrible, difficult experiences, and we see that in the passage later on as well, in order to simply share the gospel of Jesus. They are committed. The only reason they can endure all of those things is because they are committed to the task. They know and they love Jesus so much that they're willing to be committed to this task of a missional life. It's not something they've taken lightly. These people have given up their home comforts. They've made the sacrificial choice of leaving behind family or work or other things, prosperity, that they might have enjoyed had they stayed. We know from Paul's letters, as well as the rest of the book of Acts, that he is constantly directed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit tells him, go this way, don't go that way. Gives him visions of people in a part of the world that he wasn't planning to go to, but who call him, and the Holy Spirit therefore is directing him exactly where he will go. Paul is committed to following the direction of the Holy Spirit and to living a completely missional life. Now it's hard for us, isn't it? We look at these examples from Scripture and they seem so powerful and so directly kind of led by God that we can feel a little bit frightened as well as being in awe and inspired by them. And it can also feel like too high a cost, like that's too much, Jesus. We can't possibly do that. But really, if we can, what we're doing is boiling this down to the simplest factor, the most basic part of it. It's a decision about who will be the centre of our lives. A decision to live in the kingdom way, under the direction of Jesus, under his commands. In the small things, we go about our everyday life. We speak to Jesus about them. We allow the Holy Spirit to direct us. It's also important to realize that Paul didn't go into every single town in the whole of the Roman Empire. He was led by the Holy Spirit to specific places where the Holy Spirit knew that the things that he would say, the things that he would do, would have an impact. He was committed to the task and ready to put Jesus first and be led by the Holy Spirit to the specific places that the Holy Spirit wanted him to go. And so it is that crux. Are we committed? Are we ready to let our life reek of Jesus? Are we ready to let his love, his grace, and his holiness just be all of who we are, so that wherever we go, whatever our life looks like, he is visible in who we are and how we live? The second thing I think is really important from this passage, and we can learn from the example of Paul and his friends, is that they went to places, and they first went to the synagogue. This was a place that they were familiar with. This was a place which was a bit of a comfort zone for Paul. He knew exactly what to say and what to do. They go there first, and then they preach to the Gentiles afterwards. Now, there are two reasons why Paul does this. Firstly, The Jewish people knew God. They were waiting for the Messiah God had promised to send in all the Old Testament stuff. And so when Paul spoke about the gospel, they understood what the messianic prophecies were. They grasped the nuance of what it meant for Jesus to die a sacrificial death, to be the Lamb of God, to atone for the sin of the world. They should have been the easiest audience for the gospel. And so that's why Paul goes there. The second reason is that for Paul himself, it was easier. He was trained as a Pharisee. He had grown up in Tarsus, a town very much like all of the rest that he was going to preach to, where the Jewish community was part of a wider Greek and Roman influenced community. But he knew those people. They were his people. He had an experience and the ability to connect with them. And so for these two reasons, Paul goes. His mission is to the place and the people which is easiest for him to communicate the gospel to. And many of them believed in lots of the different places. And here in Berea, there is a sense, again, that we see Paul bringing people, some of the Jews in the synagogue, to faith in Jesus. And then as he preaches to the Gentiles as well, there becomes a mixture. And the people of the way in this town are joined together in following Jesus, the Jews and the Gentiles. And the church grows. And as we think about what it means to live a missional life, it won't necessarily mean for all of us travelling to another country. But perhaps one of the greatest things is that Jesus invites us to go to the places where we are familiar and comfortable, and we can easily share his love, his grace, his holiness, his truth, his goodness, all of those wonderful things. And so perhaps for us, it's about thinking, where is it easy for us to share something of our testimony? Where can we tell our colleagues, our friends, our family, our other people that we connect with, something of how God has worked in our life as we've prayed? Perhaps we can share with other people in an easy place what it is that reading scriptures or being part of a small group has helped us. Jesus himself has helped us to cope with the lockdown over the last year. Or maybe as we take our kids to school and the playground and other parents that we talk with, there's an opportunity for us to show grace and forgiveness to other parents or pupils. Perhaps when we're at the gym, we can share as we're training our physical fitness about what it is that we do to train our spiritual fitness at the same time. Or perhaps as lockdown eases and we're able to, we invite our neighbours around for barbecue. And we talk with them about what it is that has given us hope in these difficult times. Of course, it might be somewhere else. It might be that you have your own thing. But ask the Holy Spirit to show you where is it that he wants you to go and what is it that he wants you to share and to say so that you can, in a comfortable, easy and obvious place, share the good news of Jesus and what he's done in your life. The places where you're already established, where you are comfortable to be yourself. And if you're committed to Jesus being visible in your life, then those things, being yourself with Jesus, will just naturally flow out of you. So are you ready to be prompted by the Holy Spirit? Are you listening for him? Are you asking him to speak in everyday life? To prompt you to share with a particular person a part of your story, or to offer to pray when somebody is having a difficult time, to share why the Easter story is so important to us. If we want to be more ready, then all we have to do is ask. The Holy Spirit will answer us. The third thing then is accepting that it won't always go the way that we hope. And that's not really our responsibility. Paul and his friends have been in Berea for 3 weeks. And 3 weeks is all it takes for Paul to find enemies. And one of the new believers, one of the people who forms this new church in this town, in his home he's hosted Paul and the others. And it's the very reason that he's hosted, that he's welcomed and believed and followed Jesus, that means that he is then attacked when the Jews who are jealous and dislike the gospel being preached come to try and find Paul in his house. Now, this is a story that doesn't really encourage us to live missional lives. This is a part of the story that is slightly fearful. But we need the balance of the reality of it as well. If we are ready to preach the gospel, we also have to be ready for people to respond in whatever way they will respond. And that is between them and God. When we preach the gospel, whether it's by speaking about Jesus overtly or whether it's in small acts of kingdom, citizenship and values, there will always be opposition and there will always be those who reject it. If we pursue a missional way of life, we can't expect everything always to go the way that we hope. But we can expect the Holy Spirit to be with us. We still live in a world which is fought over in the spiritual realms. Jesus has all authority over heaven and earth, but he still gives every person free will. And there will be some that we share our faith with who don't want to know or who reject Jesus. If we want to live in the love of Jesus and live this missional life, we need to be able to accept whatever response others give to it. Sometimes there will also be a cost to living this way, but that cost is nothing compared to what others around the world have to pay. The cost of going to other countries where there is not the same freedom we have in the UK, where there isn't the same understanding or knowledge or background of Christian faith and belief or knowledge of scripture. We, like Paul, are in a situation where actually it is much easier for us to be missionaries here in Reading, in your workplace, in your social circle, in your street. It is easier for us than many of the people who go further afield. So really it's about, are we willing to accept the small cost that it might be to us to live missional lives? Are we ready to accept his act, his work in other people, whether or not they respond to us or reject us as part of that process? Will we let him lead us by his grace into being completely free of concern and fear, free of being worried about what the cost might be? And so as we think about reopening our church and restarting our activities as a church community, we need to take seriously the call to live this missional life, both personally in our everyday lives, but also what we as a church want to really do. New Hope Community Church was established to be a missional community here, to reach out into this community with the good news of Jesus' love and grace. And so we want that to be at the core of what we do and the priorities about how we reopen. And we want that also to be true about our international mission partners. And so let's commit ourselves to living missional lives personally, Monday to Saturday, but also being a church who will be committed to pray for the mission that's going on in our local community, in the church life, in the church focus on this area, and the church focus, the focus of the way around the world. Let's pray for Roger and Joss in Kenya and in South Sudan, for Manny and Grace Ireland as well, also working across Kenya and South Sudan. Let's remember David and Emma Craig and their four children in Uganda, for the Brits, Kevin and Kate, who no longer work for Oasis but are still in Zimbabwe, and those projects that we prayed for many years continue. And let's be praying for John and Gillian in Pakistan for the next few months and for the 24/7 prayer they're involved in. Let's be praying for all of those international missions, all of those people who have made very sacrificial choices to go and to be good news in those places. But let's also be praying about how we reopen our toddlers group, how we reopen Cafe Hope, how we reach out to the people in this community and all of the decisions and all of the things that we're considering around that at the moment, and the community survey that we're going to be doing in the next few weeks. Let's pray into it. Let's be committed to be part of that. This is what we do as a church family. This is our call from God to take seriously missional life, both as a church and as individual people. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came to us. You were the first of that real missionary attitude and example in that you came in order to reach us with your love. And so we pray that you would stir our hearts. You would prompt us again to be people who want to be missional in our day-to-day lives. We thank you for all of those people who've travelled around the world and who've gone out following your call. And we pray, Lord, that you would renew in each one of us your call to be missionaries where we are. And that, Lord, as you do that, you would also equip us and prompt us in all the right ways to be led and directed by you in how we express that. For your kingdom purpose, Lord, we pray. And so that we might know how you are leading us, we ask you to reveal more and more this week what you're saying to us. In the name of Jesus. Amen.